Hi again, everyone. This is Alan Gura. I'm sorry that I couldn't attend GRPC this year in person, but I do look forward to seeing everyone again at next year's conference. Meanwhile, I'm happy to report that SAF continues to make significant progress in securing your Second Amendment rights. I'd like to go over where we are and provide some guidance as to what we can expect to see in the coming year. The Supreme Court handed down major Second Amendment cases in 2008 and again in 2010. I would not be surprised if another major Second Amendment decision is handed down in 2013. This past term saw a number of petitions to the Supreme Court raising Second Amendment challenges. While most of these petitions didn't appear to have much chance of being accepted for lack of an interesting question or split of authority or other compelling circumstances, a few of these petitions were at least plausible, and indeed, SAF supported one of these cases, U.S. versus Machandaro, with an amicus brief. Notably, although the High Court did not accept any of the gun rights cases brought before it in the past term, it appears that in each case, even the less compelling ones, the court asked the respondent to brief their opposition to the petition. So, the court remains interested in the topic, even if none of last year's crop of petitions was sufficiently compelling. That's going to change. Some great cases are winding their way up the judicial food chain, and some are producing splits of authority in the lower federal court that the Supreme Court will have to address. Moreover, in some cases, the opinions appear to be outright defiant of the Supreme Court's opinions in Heller and McDonald, and I believe that eventually this will attract the High Court's attention as well. It will probably not surprise anyone here that the Second Amendment Foundation stands at the forefront of the effort to protect your right to keep and bear arms in the courts. We're not the only ones doing it, but in terms of breadth, scope, quality, and results, SAF remains the leader. I'm very proud of the litigation team that SAF assembles and of the local gun rights organizations that work with us as we continue to make America a better place by suing the government. We're doing everything we can to get good cases before the courts and to support the worthwhile efforts of others in doing so. Please remember, though, the law is complex and moves slowly. We cannot do everything at once, nor would that be a good idea. Results take time and a great deal of resources. And for every case you hear about, there might be a few other matters being handled discreetly and, of course, being investigated. Please also bear in mind that sometimes, hard as it may be to believe, judges get things wrong. Nobody is fully satisfied with the way the courts treat any part of the Constitution. Nobody thinks that all First Amendment cases, for example, are decided correctly. And so it's not realistic to expect perfection when it comes to the Second Amendment. There will be downs as well as ups. But we can expect progress. So let's recount where we are today and take a look at where we're going in the year to come. A year ago, we were pleased to report our initial victory in Ezell versus City of Chicago, our challenge to that city's total ban on gun ranges. The Seventh Circuit's opinion in Ezell was a landmark decision in many respects. Among other points, it confirmed that there is a right to access and use a gun range. Note, that's something that usually happens outside the home, at least in Chicago. Ezell confirmed that Second Amendment violations can cause irreparable harm, and that the government, not the citizens, bears the burden of justifying regulations on the Second Amendment right. We're now looking forward to the sequel, as Chicago opted to re-ban gun ranges by passing absurd regulations that make it impossible to own and operate a gun range. So our case continues. We'd expect a ruling at the district court level, hopefully sometime in 2013, and perhaps even another Seventh Circuit decision in Ezell as well. In Fletcher versus Haas, a case organized with Commonwealth Second Amendment and litigated by Joe Hickson, the federal judge struck down Massachusetts' ban on the issuance of handgun carry permits to legal resident aliens. In a similar case brought by SAF and Nebraska Firearm Owners Association, litigated by David Siegel and Bernie Glazer, saw a court strike down Omaha's handgun ban imposed against resident aliens. Many other cases remain unresolved and are progressing through the courts. In the time allotted here, it is simply not possible for me to discuss each and every case that SAF supports, let alone to do so in a meaningfully deep way. But while any of the current SAF-supported cases might get to the Supreme Court, as might a few other good Second Amendment cases, it seems most likely that the next Second Amendment case, or cases, to make it to One First Street will involve the right to carry handguns outside the home for self-defense. I don't need to tell this audience how important that right is, or describe for you in any detail how it exists. Suffice it to say, in Heller, the Supreme Court defined bear in the Second Amendment as carry, and devoted many pages to explaining how the right to carry functions outside the home. As a practical matter, the need for self-defense can arise anywhere, not just in one's dwelling. Securing the right to carry is vital to making the Second Amendment meaningful for many millions of Americans. Thus, SAF and others have focused a great deal of energy trying to vindicate the right to bear arms. We have yet to see the first federal appellate decision squarely determining application of this right. At the district court level, some courts have recognized this important right and on occasion have struck down restrictive laws. Other federal district courts have avoided the topic for a variety of reasons. It would not be surprising were the split continue to manifest itself as the cases move up to the next level. In March, we won Bateman versus Purdue, a case we pursued in conjunction with Grassroots North Carolina, challenging that state's state of emergency laws, under which the state barred people from buying guns and ammunition and from carrying guns whenever it determined that an emergency threatened public order. Now, our friends at the Brady Center charged that we were arguing for the right to take guns into a riot, or perhaps more accurately, when the police declare that they can't be there to protect you and public order has broken down, then only the police should have guns, wherever they happen to be, which of course is not with you. The court agreed with us that there is a right to have and carry guns during times of emergency. Unfortunately, the state has not appealed its loss, so Bateman, while very helpful to the people of North Carolina and a compelling, persuasive precedent, will not itself go further. That same month, we won Willard versus Sheridan, our challenge to Maryland's May issue law. The decision is stayed pending appeal. But at least technically, if not yet in reality, we've made the so-called free state a little more free. Appellate arguments in Willard are slated for October 24th. And also in March, I argued at the 10th Circuit in Denver for SAF and Cal guns as a friend of the court in Drew Peterson's challenge to Denver's total carry ban imposed against non-residents. In June, the 7th Circuit Court of Appeals heard argument in our challenge to Illinois' total ban on the carrying of handguns for self-defense, Moore versus Madigan. The court also concurrently heard argument in a similar case, Shepard versus Madigan, sponsored by the NRA. It's not appropriate for me to make any predictions about the outcome, but the 7th Circuit's website contains the audio of the argument from that day. I invite everyone who is interested in guessing what the court might do to listen to that argument. Then, of course, there is the matter of Kachalski versus Kekase, our challenge to New York's infamous Sullivan Law. I argued that one in August, and audio recordings of that argument are also available online, not at the court's website, but on various websites belonging to our friends in the gun rights movement. In coming months, we expect to have argument in similar cases challenging New Jersey and California's May issue laws, Bizatowski versus Filko and Richards versus Prieto, respectively. And on Monday, I will return to the Federal District Court in Washington, D.C. for a second round of arguments in Palmer versus D.C., SAF's challenge to Washington's total carrying ban. So which will it be? Perhaps one of the six remaining SAF cases on carry? Perhaps one of the non-SAF cases making the rounds? We have no idea. The litigation ball takes many funny bounces, and while we're probably at least aware of all the major cases on the topic, we can't be certain that the Supreme Court won't take some obscure case which hasn't made much of any news. All we can do is move forward. With so many appellate arguments either having been completed or set to be completed in the immediate future, the landscape surrounding this right is about to become much more interesting. Let me also suggest to you that the Supreme Court might be asked to take two cases on the right to carry.
It may not be enough simply to declare that this right exists. There are many devils in the licensing details. The cases arising from the total carry bans in effect in Illinois and the District of Columbia are very well focused on the simple question of whether the right exists. If it does, then a total ban on it cannot be constitutional. But among our opponents' many interesting arguments in the cases challenging May issue laws is their claim that even if there is a right to carry a gun outside the home, it's an acceptable regulation of that right not to let anyone practice it unless they prove that they deserve to do so for some special police-approved reason. Obviously, this argument makes no logical sense. The whole concept of a right to do something is that you don't need to prove a good reason for exercising it. But I've seen courts buy off on equally or even more absurd claims, so it's fair to assume that beyond establishing the basic right to carry a gun, the Supreme Court will have to tell us how it might be regulated. But the argument that makes the least sense to me, of all the arguments, is that which holds that the Supreme Court would go to all the trouble of deciding Heller and McDonald, and then suddenly stop accepting Second Amendment cases, leaving the lower courts without further guidance and with splintered decisions on profoundly important issues. Of these, the most pressing is the right to carry. It's being heavily litigated, and it's being decided differently by different courts. So I'd expect a supreme answer to this question in the near future. If you like what SAF is doing, rolling back stupid and dangerous gun laws one lawsuit at a time, then please consider supporting SAF or increasing your support. And if you are concerned about how courts might decide cases impacting your rights, then be active. Let your elected officials and candidates for public office know that you care about ensuring that only the most qualified and distinguished people are confirmed to the bench. And by qualified, you mean individuals who are open to the idea that the government can be sued, who accept that it is absolutely the duty of the courts to rein in excess in the political branches, and who would be committed to enforcing the whole Constitution, whether they personally agree with it or not. We like to think that the Bill of Rights was ratified in 1791, but in reality, in the practical end for your daily life, the Bill of Rights means what judges tell you it means, and judges in our country are a byproduct of the electoral process. Forget about 1791. The Second Amendment is on the ballot. This time, next time, every time. If you're not active, you cannot complain if things go wrong. I'm hoping that by next GRPC, which right now it looks like I can't attend, we'll have expanded our list of victories and we'll have secured the right to carry in a much more meaningful way for all Americans. Thanks. Enjoy the rest of the conference.